Hello and welcome to the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 187. I'm your host, and I'm Steve Webb. Are you doing the happy dance because it's Friday? The weekend is almost here. Today we begin one of my favorite books of the Bible. I've read through Romans several times, and I always get excited when I get to do it again. There is just so much rich teaching here. I hope by the time we get through it, your appreciation for the book has grown as well. Let's get started. We're reading from the Contemporary English Version. Romans chapter 1. From Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. God chose me to be an apostle, and he appointed me to preach the good news that he promised long ago by what his prophets said in the Holy Scriptures. This good news is about his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. As a human, he was from the family of David. But the Holy Spirit proved that Jesus is the powerful Son of God because he was raised from death. Jesus was kind to me and chose me to be an apostle, so that people of all nations would obey and have faith. You are some of those people chosen by Jesus Christ. This letter is to all of you in Rome. God loves you and has chosen you to be his very own people. I pray that God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ will be kind to you and will bless you with peace. First, I thank God in the name of Jesus Christ for all of you. I do this because people everywhere in the world are talking about your faith. God has seen how I never stop praying for you while I serve him with all my heart and tell the good news about his Son. In all my prayers, I ask God to make it possible for me to visit you. I want to see you and share with you the same blessings that God's Spirit has given me. Then you will grow stronger in your faith. What I am saying is that we can encourage each other by the faith that is ours. My friends, I want you to know that I have often planned to come for a visit, but something has always kept me from doing it. I want to win followers to Christ in Rome, as I have done in many other places. It doesn't matter if people are civilized and educated, or if they are uncivilized and uneducated. I must tell the good news to everyone. That is why I am eager to visit all of you in Rome. I am proud of the good news. It is God's powerful way of saving all people who have faith, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. The good news tells how God accepts everyone who has faith, but only those who have faith. It is just as the Scriptures say, the people God accepts because of their faith will live. From heaven, God shows how angry he is with all the wicked and evil things that sinful people do to crush the truth. They know everything that can be known about God because God has shown it all to them. God's eternal power and character cannot be seen, but from the beginning of creation, God has shown what these are like by all he has made. That's why those people don't have any excuse. They know about God, but they don't honor him or even thank him. Their thoughts are useless, and their stupid minds are in the dark. They claim to be wise, but they're fools. They don't worship the glorious and eternal God. Instead, they worship idols that are made to look like humans who cannot live forever, and like birds, animals, and reptiles. So God let these people go their own way. They did what they wanted to do, and their filthy thoughts made them do shameful things with their bodies. They gave up the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped God's creation instead of God, who will be praised forever. Amen. God let them follow their own evil desires. Women no longer wanted to have sex in a natural way, and they did things with each other that were not natural. Men behaved in the same way. They stopped wanting to have sex with women and had strong desires for sex with other men. They did shameful things with each other, and what has happened to them is punishment for their foolish deeds. Since these people refused even to think about God, he let their useless minds rule over them. That's why they do all sorts of indecent things. They are evil, wicked, and greedy, as well as mean in every possible way. They want what others have, and they murder, argue, cheat, and are hard to get along with. They gossip, say cruel things about others, and hate God. They are proud, conceited, and boastful, always thinking up new ways to do evil. These people don't respect their parents. They are stupid, unreliable, and don't have any love or pity for others. They know God has said that anyone who acts this way deserves to die, but they keep on doing evil things, and they even encourage others to do them. May God bless the reading of his word. We'll get to my thoughts about this chapter of Romans, but first, a quick reminder. Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide will soon have a price increase. If you're not sure about buying it yet, you can get the entire first chapter for free over at easybiblenamesguide.com. Check it out over the weekend. Now, Paul's epistle, or letter, to the Romans probably is the most eloquent and developed presentation of God's plan of salvation in the entire Bible. It begins with an introduction here in the first chapter, up to verse 15, and then moves into presenting the gospel in all of its intricacies through the end of chapter 11. From chapter 12 through most of chapter 15, Paul shows how we're transformed by the power of God, and then the final verses of the book are some closing thoughts of a personal nature and then a blessing. Here in the first chapter, Paul opens by introducing himself and how Jesus called him to be an apostle, which means messenger. Then he tells the Romans how much affection he has for them and how he wants to visit them, and then he says how God accepts anyone who has faith. Later on, we'll talk much more about that, but here in the introduction, be it noted that the message is that God has made a way of saving all people, whether Jew or Gentile. And then Paul wastes little more time in showing the broken nature of mankind and the trouble they bring on themselves when they turn their heart on God. He says they have no excuse because God has revealed himself in so many ways, but they reject him. And because of their insistence and stubbornness, he has turned them over to do as they will. Well, once God lets go, it doesn't take long to begin circling the drain into a life of depravity. He lists several specific sins, and it's a list that if we were to give each one a rating from 1 to 10, with a 1 rating being the most vile, the list might include sins with ratings of 9 or 10 all the way up to number 1. But that rating scale is a human construct. Each of those sins is something that God hates. Murder? Sure, we all agree on that. But arguing? Gossiping? Do those really belong in the same list? Yes, sir, they do. The point Paul is making is that we are all in desperate trouble, and a holy God is angry because of rebellious people who reject him. Now, as a warning, I'll tell you that the next couple of chapters will consist somewhat of more of the same type of teaching. Paul has addressed the Gentiles here in verses 18 through 32, and then in chapter 2, in the beginning of chapter 3, he'll address the Jews, and then he'll talk about all mankind in the remaining verses of chapter 3. Of course, the reason he spends so much time talking about the brokenness of mankind is to establish the need for the sacrifice of Jesus and the entire plan of salvation brought to us by a forgiving and loving God. If you've never read Romans, stick with me through the entire book. I think you'll come out the other side loving God more than you ever have. Have a great weekend. Spend part of it surrounded by your spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ, praising and worshiping and hearing the word preached by a servant of the Lord who's passionate about revealing more of Jesus to you. I'll see you Monday. For now, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.